Father, we thank you because we know you fill us to overflowing. As David said, thou anointest our cup, our vessel, our soul with oil. For you said at midnight, the bride must be anointed with oil. We pray, O God, that we will have enough oil. We will not need to go to buy again. So you help us, O God, to come to that place where our preoccupation will be to be filled with oil, to be anointed, just like Esther was anointed, that our soul might be prepared and anointed for this glorious union of the Son of God with His glorious bride. We just bless you today, O God, that you lift us up by your word. Let the truth of your word come to us. Let this circumcise our inward man. Let it cut away the strength of the flesh. Let the strength of Christ come to our soul, O God, and we'll no longer be children, tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by circumstance, O God, that we'll be truly instructed, so we'll be truly perfect unto every good work. We just thank you, O God, for sending life, sending bread, bringing seed for us, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So what I intend to do this session is to run through what I consider to be our inheritance in Christ. The way it has come to me, it covers all. I mean, every aspect of my inheritance in Christ to me is captured by this, so there are seven steps or seven realms, however, of our inheritance in Christ. And you know, seven is the fullness. So everything possible, you can confidently group it under these seven classes. It's not that any of them is better than the other, just the way, for me, it helps me to remember. So the first of this, the P stands for priest. That our inheritance in Christ is to be a priest. One of the things that I have learned is to not to rush through the scriptures. Because when I rush through the scriptures, for me, I miss a lot. So I like to read a fine print. Maybe because of my background, where the university, you know, community, where you have to read in between the lines. Again, because of my medical training, so I actually like words. I like to break open words, and when you do that, you get the meaning. You look at the if you have a good dictionary, every word it will give you the old English meaning. It will tell you the origin. So those words are from French, some are from Scandinavia, some are from German. You know, so it tells you the old and then the new. And that way you see the richness of the word in use. So here we are, first one, priest. The question is, who is the priest? You know, with the fallen nature of our mind, the first thing is, the first interpretation is the natural. Priest is man who has a white collar, is it not? And that dresses in a certain way. Alright. But you see, according to our picture, that would be very wrong, because just looking at an outward man, But that's not all that there is to man. The real man is inward. So what that does is a mentality. Oh, a priest is a man who is out there, and then all the other people are following him. So you have the laity and the clergy. And that automatically puts you off. It's a complete, you will never meet the mark. Because the whole thing is defined by the outward man. And what that does is it brings you into church, into religion, church activity. And Jesus dealt with it in his time. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, you have the different orders of priesthood, the Levites, you know. And that also now takes us historically in Israel also. There was a natural priest. And in Israel, it was restricted. Priesthood is by birth. That's one major thing I want you to understand. You are born a priest. You can never be a priest without being born. Nobody strolls and becomes a priest. No. You must be born. Either naturally or by the Spirit. Priesthood comes by birth. So if you don't understand anything, understand it today. You must be born a priest. Either naturally. And if you are going to be born a priest naturally, then it's restricted. You must be from the tribe of Levi. So if you're from Levi, you're out of it. Even Jesus, according to that law, was not a priest by the Levitical priesthood. So that priesthood had limitations. Because it means that we cannot preach. There's no point in our preaching. Because everybody in this room were out automatically. So you could then see that you can't, that order, the natural order, cannot serve the purpose of God. Who is dealing with it? Say whosoever. Alright? So it says we are all kings and priests. So that, therefore, that natural thing, therefore, limits the, you know, what God has in mind. Okay, so there's a natural priesthood. And you can see Levi. And if you also extend it to our own natural setting, that some people can be priests naturally. For instance, somebody is born now, his father is a bishop, and he's the only boy. You know what will happen. Whether he likes or not, he must inherit the church. Whether he is called or not, he must go to Bible school and learn, and come and learn priesthood, learn to be a pastor. So the church passes to him. So that is natural. That is not God's calling. Okay, but in the spirit, we see another line. Okay? The priesthood of Melchizedek. You are also born into it. But that experience is by the spirit. So say Melchizedek is a priesthood. I'm really cutting it short. But this is Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. From 5 down to about 10. Okay, so he said Melchizedek was a priest without father, without mother. There is no such human being that's without father. So in other words, he was a priest by the Spirit. That's what it is saying there. So without father, without mother, without beginning of day, without end. So his priesthood was of the Spirit. Okay, so now we say you have to be born. So how are you priesthood by the Spirit? It means the ability to overcome darkness. The scripture puts it, it says, Israel is my firstborn. Alright? So God brought Israel out of Egypt. Egypt was a kind of covering. In Egypt, there was an imprisonment of Israel. So God brought them out of that. So that is a breaking for that is spiritually God's a new birth. Alright? So that's why I say you must be born again. I don't know if you understand. So there has to be a spiritual birth for the soul. Okay, and it is that spiritual birthing that makes you a priest. But that priesthood is not according to Aaron. But our priesthood is a priest according to Christ. Alright? So Christ is the high priest. And all of us who come by the root of Christ will become under shepherds, under priests, under priest under Christ. So Christ is a lineage of priest, and the high priest is Jesus Christ. In fact, there's a scripture, it's in Hebrews, that says Jesus is the great shepherd of our soul. He's the bishop and the high priest of our soul. I think it's in Peter or somewhere. Okay. You can look at, you know, that Jesus is the bishop and high priest of our soul. So if you look for it, you can see it is the bishop and high priest. Okay, I've seen it. 1 Peter 2:25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So again, you can see the direct reference that Jesus is a shepherd, okay, of our souls. So you don't need any other man. Yeah, any other man is just so the structure that is created by the church, again, is a physical thing. It's not to say that God does not have structures. Structures are there, but it has to be due order, that Jesus is the head. So, by extension, Jesus is the head of every soul, and therefore is the head of every assembly. Alright? Uh-huh. So, he walks through ministers, those who are more matured. He works with them as workers, co-laborers. Bible says you are co-laborers with Christ. But Jesus is present in every assembly, in every meeting. So where two or three are gathered, he is here. Even in this, as we are gathered, he is here. So if he is here, then you must refer to him. You must seek him, his will, his authority, his counsel, and all that. And that is the purpose of prayer and seeking God. Uh-huh. So we cannot just plan ahead and give to God whatever stamp. No, we seek God's mind in every situation. So when you have an issue, you go to Jesus, you go to the high priest, all right, and he can tell you go and meet so and so. You know, so it's a different relationship. So we don't see the pastor as your shepherd of your soul as such. The ministries are there as co-shepherds, walking with Christ. Alright, so that would say he has set in the church so and so. There are ministries, abilities that God has put in the church. He says, if you look at the church, he says the church is like a body. You have an eye, you have a hearing, you have hands. There are different parts. So we being many are one body. He is the head. So in the body of Christ, there are capacities. Just like my body, you have different abilities in my body to function, do different things. But there is a head. The head is overall. You know. So, as we relate in the body of Christ, we recognize the structures he has put. And the structures are helpers together. See, it is for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, until we all come. In other words, the ministries are to help the church come to maturity, where every joint will supply. So, as you become a believer, you are a joint, you are a vital part of the body. So there is something, you know, so as you grow, you come into more awareness of your part in the body of Christ. So nobody is a passenger. You understand? So, that is what the Bible teaches. So there's a priesthood, the priesthood of Christ. Christ is the head of that priesthood, and we are members of that with various callings. And now, a calling is not the same thing as a reality. You can be called. They say many are called, few are chosen, and even few are faithful. You understand? So it's required amongst you that a man be found faithful. Not fail. You can be called, but you need to make that calling an election sure. So it brings a responsibility on me. Yes, I have a talent, but the fact that I can sing doesn't make me whom God wants me to. I have to give myself to it. I have to live right. If I just take the singing, like I'll become a star. I've gone out of my calling, because I'm supposed to minister to God first, not entertainment. You understand? So, and that spirit will be ministering to you. Yes. You know. So those are very clear principles. You are called, then you make that calling an election sure by consecration to Christ, to the head. Then He will not bring you into that place where you are faithful. You are doing what God wants you to do. You know. So that is the one dimension of the priesthood. Now, there's another dimension of priesthood. Okay, sorry, there's the opposite of the Melchizedek priesthood, and that is the priesthood of Baal. I call it priesthood of Baal. The priesthood of the flesh. But it is explained better by when we look at the other principle we want to bring out. Now, something happened to Adam, and that is the principle of darkness. So we have the priest of Melchizedek. We can't go so much into it, but the opposite of it is the priesthood of Baal. Okay. And then there's the second principle of darkness. So when we think of priesthood, we must think of darkness as a spirit. The opposite of darkness is light. Now, what is he saying? When the man took the fruit, and it says good and evil. That was the tree. That was the principle. Good and evil is evil, because God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So if you have light and darkness, it is darkness. Okay. Now, when that came in, there is something, a principle called depraved. It says the nature of the soul became depraved. What is he saying? He's saying that this soul became corrupted. The soul lost its innocence. So a principle of darkness came into the soul. And the English people say the soul became depraved. And they define depraved as the corruption of the nature of the soul because of original sin. Of course, in the university, they have spent the whole of their lifetime fighting the concept of original sin. They say there's nothing like original sin. That, forget it. Alright? So you have to decide which, are you going to follow their thought or not? But we are told that there is original sin. Sin came in as the principle of darkness and began to grow. So this soul nature became corrupted by darkness. But you see, darkness is a spiritual principle, and it came into man, and has that darkness has continued to grow, and the nature of man has become not just depraved. The other word that is used is, so you have depravity. It became depraved. Then it led to perverse. Now, perversion means to be contrary to the normal. Alright? So, not just that the soul became corrupted. Okay, so Corinthians says it was born in incorruption. Sorry, born in corruption, that he might receive incorruption. Alright? So, that corruption in the nature of the soul led to the soul to depart and deviate from the normal set standard of lifestyle, of the emotions, the will, the desire. So this will begin to function contrary Okay, but the thing is that this darkness became stamped in the nature of man. So in other words, every son of Adam had a problem with darkness. Darkness was there. How do we know? Cain, the firstborn of Adam, what happened to him? How did he kill his brother? Where did he learn it from? It was that spirit of darkness that began to walk. And you can see when children you grow up, do you have a school for teaching children how to walk in darkness? No. So he's speaking of that innate, inward corruption of the nature, okay, of man. And so he's still talking about the problem with the soul. So this principle of darkness is stamped. It's like an identity that is, so someone said, that is woven, is engraved into the nature of the soul. So this soul recognizes the darkness at the head. So this darkness begins to rule the soul. So the allegiance of the soul is not to Christ, but rather this now brings the soul under the allegiance of the Antichrist or of darkness. So you are not dealing with something. There is something that has happened. The head or the covering over the soul is now darkness no longer. In other words, in Revelation it calls it the image of this. This soul now becomes a beastly nature. That is, Romans 8 tells us that the carnal man is not submitted to God. It's enmity. It's in rebellion. It never can be. Why can it not? If you trace, we know it's one reason. Because of the darkness. And if you go back to chapter 7, what does it say? Paul said, the good I want to do, I do not. It's the evil that I don't want to do. So he said, that means there are two things happening to me. He says, there must therefore be another law. Because it's a law. But we know it's speaking of that principle of darkness. So Paul was able to identify that there was a principle in him. Because he says, to do the will of God, I agree with the will of God, but I do not have the power. So it's therefore sin in me that dwells it. So he was able to separate his soul from the darkness that was within. Okay, that was working him, making him do it. So the soul therefore is now held captive.
Is the soul really separated?
Well,
it comes out from the soul that
affects
you.
Good, that's what I'm saying. So, the darkness is there functioning, but the darkness has corrupted the soul nature. And because the soul nature is corrupted, it now begins to affect the body, his manifestation. And also affects his spirit, because the spirit is also cut off from God. This fellowship is broken. So the realm of heaven becomes alien and strange to the soul, because the soul is, the eyes of understanding become shut down. Everything is shut down. It doesn't see and know. Rather, everything is channeled towards, the only thing the man knows is darkness, defeat, and so the nature is completely removed. So the Bible calls it the mark of the beast. What is the mark? It's an impregnation. It is a principle of darkness that is into every soul that is born. And the soul walks by that principle. Okay, so that's the first question you are asking. This is the first question. The soul without Christ. So the soul without Christ has a God. What is the God? Darkness. Alright? But you see, it doesn't stop there. There are spirits that feed on the darkness. And that's how the Antichrist comes in. So the Antichrist needs energy, and that energy is a darkness in man. So in other words, the soul is acting as a breeding ground for darkness. So as the darkness increases, the devils have more power. So you can translate it to a natural. You come to a place where everybody is submitted to the same spirit. That spirit is strong. He's feeding. He's feeding on the carnality, within the people. So the only way to break out of it is to make that connection, is for This fellowship must be restored. And that's what the blood does. This connection must be restored. And then break off this other connection. This one has to be broken off. So how can a man do that? He needs, it's the blood that does that for you. That's why when you receive the blood, the power in the blood breaks off and establishes this covenant. So the soul now begins to relate with God and now begins to recognize God as head, and you know, and has the burden of overcoming the darkness within. Yes, yes.
You know, this other line now.
Yes.
That's your blue line.
Yes.
You know, sometimes some will say Antichrist and darkness, you know, and all that. You know, you might be thinking a murderer, a rapist, you know, some terrible sin that even the world condemns. Okay, right? But there are some people who seemingly, like in the world, they are well-behaved people.
Mm-hmm.
They are politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, follow the principles, you know, of the world. So with the law of the land, there is nothing against them.
Mm-hmm.
They are in close good men and good women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But that connection to the Father is not there.
Exactly.
It's not by the Spirit.
Exactly.
So that one is a more trickish one.
Yes.
The other one, everybody sees and can condemn.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who do even humanitarian work.
Uh-huh.
Okay? When they see all those African children, Asian children that are put on television,
mm-hmm.
You know, they tremble, they want to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, and it's good. Okay? That they do something about
mm-hmm.
that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, you know, necessarily born again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And can even blend the born again people that even shine better than born again people by the works that they will display.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but the Spirit of God is not ministering.
Exactly.
I'm just thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's chapter of love.
Mm-hmm.
If you give your body to the born again, give all your wealth to
you. And you do not have love.
And you do not have love, you are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, I see that, you know. You can have works that are seemingly good,
look
but
at
are
the,
really dead works.
Look at this, it's number two here. That's why I try to separate it.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, there is a darkness, is there. But the man, in fact, this is self. The man is worshipping self.
Yes.
So this is self, and this is the human humanity. This is a human... what do I call it? This is the, you know, they say...
humanity.
Yes, yeah, humanity, yes.
Mm.
You know, so this is man. The good man is being good.
Mm.
Alright? So I'm good, I'm doing what is good. Well, you know, I do it to give back to the environment. I do good. Like the rotary will tell you 4 rules of man.
Mm.
You do good, you help your men, you help the community. You do it for the human good. The human good is not enough. There is darkness. The soul itself sees itself as God, actually. So here is a little God. It's a little God. So he sees itself as God and functions as a God. Okay? In fact, he's taking the glory of God. So this, like you said, is even more dangerous because it's a self-delusion that it is okay. Alright? Uh-huh. So Christians can fall into that trap. Well, let me just... be good, but it's not enough. There is the aspect that there is this principle of darkness, and there are spirits that feed on the darkness. That's why the devil comes in. So he says the beast was carrying the woman. The beast speaks of that the soul, the beastly nature of the soul, departed from God, not submitting to God, and then he's feeding the whole. You can see the whole realm of this spirit. So this is the worship. This is this alternate priesthood of the soul. But the blood restores us to the right priesthood. This is the priesthood of Christ, where Christ is the head of the soul and not the other way around. You know? And so this has to do with lifestyle our philosophy of life, the choices we make, that Christ must be the head, you know, and not the other way. So this is all hidden in the culture that is all around us, and in different places, that culture.
Sorry, that's the point. Where is the alliance? Who is the boss? So that's the difference. So it's not just
Mm-hmm.
who's receiving the glory.
Yes, you're right.
So that's what I'm saying, that address that, because that's where a lot of people call it.
Yes, yes.
You think that they are now manifesting God. Meanwhile, they are legends, really.
You see.
But they say, the other one is that in the world, most such people, by the time you check them, they, like I said, they feed. Before, if you check them very well, you won't know.
They have an allegiance somewhere.
It's an allegiance.
Allegiance somewhere.
Yes.
There's an allegiance.
Right.
If you follow them well, there's an allegiance that gives them confidence. Otherwise, they can't work.
Exactly.
Those who don't have allegiance, by the time they get confrontation in the midst of it,
they overcome.
Yes.
That's right. Political power, for instance. We all know political power in Africa.
They show the good.
You must go and get strength for political power. That's why they go to human sacrifice and all those things and all those things. Because you know that you can't go. In fact, they will tell you.
So now a Christian somewhere are seeing this man, okay, seemingly good. He becomes an inspiration. What you talked about earlier, if that descending in the spirit,
it's not there.
That spiritual eye,
exactly,
is not awake.
Yes,
cannot descend.
Exactly.
It appears good though.
Somebody's name is coming to my mind, but I won't mention his name. His name started with O, and I won't mention his name. You know the O? His name starts with O, but I won't mention his name. Everybody, even Christians, we are clapping for him. By the time he finished, everybody's hand was on our heads. God, how did we all accept O? You know the O? Okay, I won't mention the O. His name starts with O. Is that what?
So they will find out who
they go. Oh, you start to get. They're mentioning the name here now. You say, okay, they know. They say it's Obama. Yes! Obama is it?
Okay, not from Obama. So
okay, focus there. So this is very, very important, you know. Yeah, it's something that we can relate to, okay? Alright, so I think we've got this. So this is
your eyes, this is what we're talking about. Your understanding is critical to know what is in context. What are we contesting is not just the goodliness, it's to whom do you
is the allegiance.
That's how you, so you can acknowledge somebody who is good. There's nothing, let him that is good be good still. But you cannot want to follow him. You will also understand that even though you may not, as a Christian at that time, attain all the goodness by the human standard, you are not at the same level with him. You are a greater man. Yeah? So you don't want to begin to follow his track.
Yes. Yes. Brendan, that's fine? Okay, good. Alright, good. Okay, so let's go. Because of time, I have to close. Yes, the last thing I want to say about the priesthood is that a priest must be dressed correctly. You cannot function as a priest unless you are wearing the right dress. Okay? Now, this soul has a dress, has a covering. The covering of the natural man is darkness. Alright? So let's just read the one scripture to slide that, then I'll move on to the next thing. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 and 6. Okay. Clarifies that for 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. In whom the God of this world has blinded the mind. Why would the devil blind the mind? You see, why doesn't he leave the mind the way it is? So he brings darkness upon the mind. And if the mind is that, then the mind no longer has the nature of God. Alright? So it says, they blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had done what? Shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see it? So, every soul born into the world is born in darkness, so that it can serve the priesthood unto the devil. But when light, when the heart opens up to the gospel, what happens? The gospel comes with light to clothe the mind with light, so that your mind can now serve as a priest of God. So you can see the contrast of the two. So my mind must be changed so that I can be an offering. You know, Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you to offer your souls, what? As an offering to God. Because your soul is in light, so it's being offered to God to walk in the light. I'll give you an example, then we will move on. Two examples. Saul, when he died, what happened to him? The Bible tells us, if you look at 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel 30, 1 Samuel verse chapter 30 and 1 Corinthians 10. They give us the account when Saul was killed. When they killed Saul, what happened? They took his head. What did they do to his head? They took his head into the temple of Dagon. What was he doing in the temple of Dagon? It was serving as a priest. He was captive and being used as a priest. We have another example, Samson. When Samson was conquered by the Philistines, what did they do to him? They took him into the prison of Dagon, and he was functioning as a minister. He was bringing corn for them, ministering. So, it is standard practice with the devil to capture my mind and use my mind to bring forth darkness. So, you see, the devil cannot multiply darkness. The devil needs you and me to multiply darkness in the world. You understand? Okay, he's not understanding.
He is somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
Not very good.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Yes. Good. Yes.
Right.
Yes. You understand? So, what does that mean? That means that there are realms in the spirit. Okay. If you read Proverbs tells you. Proverbs 4 gives what it says. The way of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. So the proverb says, withdraw your feet from darkness. How does it say? So a believer can leave the way of light and enter the way of darkness. So it's a blessed is man that does not walk according to the counsel of the ungodly, or stand, or sit. So a Christian can live the way of light and enter the way of darkness. You see, I'm born again, yeah, but he's walking. His counsel, his philosophy, his mindset, he has a name, but practice, he is walking. Yeah. That is what we have seen here. So Saul, his head was arrested in the temple of Dagon, and he was functioning as a minister in that temple. You see another example, Belshazzar. He took the vessels of God. He brought it from the treasure and began to use it as vessels of ministry. So you and I can be a vessel in the hands of the devil. It's true. That's what Jesus told Peter. Get behind me, How real is it? How real is it? Well, a wrong spirit can come over me. So, as we relate with one another, if we are sensitive, we will know when something wrong has happened. We can do two things. We can pray for the person. You can be a friend, or even husband, or wife, or children, or uncles, or amongst brethren. A wrong spirit can come in. So, if we are sensitive, we will know that this is a wrong spirit. And we can deliver our brethren. Or even over me, you can recognize that as a wrong spirit that has come in. You know, and it can bring offense. That spirit can lead you into rebellion. It's like you begin to walk contrary. You know, and if you look at it, if you are sensitive, you will notice where there was an opening and the devil came in. Okay, so these are all aspects of priesthood and the fact of submitting to a wrong spirit. And somebody says to me, I can never be wrong, really. In fact, that is an example that you are wrong. Yeah. The Bible says, examine yourself and see if you are what? In the faith. You know? So it is a good habit to always check yourself. Examine yourself. You know, you are what?
Check yourself with your church.
Well, what I mean is, check, at least you can use the scripture if you are my church. Okay. If you use the scriptures, okay, because scripture is a mirror, use it to check. It's the word of God. Okay. So it's the word of God. So you use the scriptures to check. Yes. And what comes to mind there is the normal contemporary Christianity, where it's like, well, I'm not convinced. You're not convinced about what? The word of God is very clear. So, I don't know about the conviction. They say, I'm not convinced I should do it. What are you not convinced? The scripture tells you a standard to give. So, a lot of people, there are these loopholes we have brought in to give us liberty. You know, say, well, I'm not convinced. The spirit of God has not convinced me. You know? So, it's a very, very thin line. We have to be careful. So, I think we can go on from there. At least we'll answer question number one. Number two is important. We mentioned it. Now, what is it? Number two is bride. I'm trying to move fast. The bride, to be a bride, this is another inheritance that we have. We are called to be a bride. Now, like we said, you have the soul, you have the spirit, you have the body. These three can all be married. Alright? The body is married, the soul is married, and the spirit. So let's see some scriptures. Just one major scripture. 1 Corinthians 6. Okay, let's start from 13. 1 Corinthians 6:13. It says, meat for the body and the belly for meat for the belly, belly for meat. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. Okay, see the marriage, see the body. This is not body. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Okay, so it's now gonna talk about the Lord and the body. And the Lord for the body. And God have both raise up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Verse 17, it's very powerful. It says, but he, the he there has to be the soul. Alright? Of course, it can speak to the body and the body. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. So we can be one spirit. And what is that spirit? Christ. So that means the purpose of Christ is to marry our spirit, marry our soul, and marry the body. That is the purpose. Okay? So it is the inheritance that we have as believers to be one. You know? With God in body, in soul, and the spirit. So nothing is left. We can see that principle. He says, thou shalt love the Lord with what? All your soul, all the mind, all the strength, and so on. See, this is the first and the greatest commandment. Okay, so you see that joining. Alright? Now, there are three conditions of marriage which are contrary. One is the harlot spirit. So, you can have a harlot soul. Instead of being joined to Christ, what is he joined to? Every other spirit. You understand? So the spirit soul is to be married to Christ. But instead of being married to Christ, it's actually supposed to be married to Christ, that is joining other spirits. You can see the point. For instance, say Israel is my wife, but she has played the harlot. You understand? You say Ephraim is joined to idols. Okay, so these are examples. Then there is the second one, is where he talks about the widow. It's also a situation of marriage. But the widow, the husband is dead. He's also speaking of the type of the soul. As far as the soul is concerned, this line is dead. You know what I'm saying? There's no God, there is no Christ, there's no spirit. I'm just like that. Okay, he used to be married, but he's cut off. Alright? In other words, so the soul has lost the ability to reach out into the spirit. He has a name, but God is dead. Okay? So he's also speaking of another condition. So you have the harlot, you have the widow, and then there's a third one. Well, it's the same. That one is the whore. Okay? So spirit of whoredom. Okay? So let's just read one or two scriptures, and I think we can move on. Hosea tells us, is the chapter where you talk about marriage. The book of Hosea. It's after Daniel. You see it. She's talking about this wrong marriage. So that it is due to a spirit. Five. Okay, look at verse 6, Hosea chapter 4, 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, and thou shalt not be a priest to me, seeing thou hast this. Look at verse 11. It says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Verse 12. So my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. There's one. Okay, I think that's enough. There are other ones you can find as you look around. So, one of the inheritance we have in Christ is to be joined to Christ, to be a bride. We know the story of the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. Okay, the wise virgin has oil. Where? In the vessel. The vessel is the soul. So you can see it. So that's the character. Alright, the foolish virgin does not have oil, alright, in the right place. So we must have oil in the soul. That is so Christ comes into the soul to take over the soul. So the Christ comes into the soul and begins to cause the soul to bring forth fruit of Christ. So this causes the fruit of the spirit. So Christ comes into the soul to begin to bring the fruit and the oil of the Spirit. So the next one is, what's the time now? It's 3. I must end by 3:30. The next one is that we are called to be sons. Our calling as believers is to be sons of God. But who is a son? It was in Nairobi that God gave me a definition of a son. A son is a soul that has come to maturity in God. So the maturity, this is a fully matured. Alive. The senses are fully awake. What's the opposite of sonship? A son is a slave, a weakling. The inner man, the inner man is a slave or a weakling. Here, the inner man is fully matured. So what is he saying? You as a believer, you must have strength in the inward man. Paul was praying that God might strengthen us with might in the inward man. We are going to run into a lot of trouble as a church, because the inward man is a weakling, no strength. When cancer comes, that brought him, I said, we'll run to the hospital. Hospital cannot help the inward man. Hospital can only treat some pain in the body, but the inward man needs energy, needs strength, and that is sonship. So we have to go to God to bring strength. And if my soul has lost touch with the Son of Righteousness, where the strength comes, can you see? So there's a need for my soul to connect with Christ. To connect with Christ, you know. So example, see, Jesus grew you in stature and in wisdom and in strength. You understand? So he himself grew. He grew in wisdom. He was strong in the Spirit. You know? And I find that this is something that is critical now. We must be strong in the Spirit. The church is too weak. We are too weak. And if we are weak, we'll be blown away with every... The Bible says in Psalm 1 that the chaff, that the ungodly are like the chaff that are blown around. We have no strength. We have no foundation. You know, so I don't know what you want to get out of this meeting, but let it be that you get a resolve to have strength in the... You must get oil. You must. That's what makes your soul to be strong. You know? You know, so you can... If you are strong, then you can resist the devil. How can you resist when you are so weak within? How do you strengthen your inward man? One, the word. Alright? It must be a word-based lifestyle. Alright? Say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the inward man. What's the right instrument? The Spirit. Alright? We have the Spirit of Christ. That's the purpose of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. He brings your spirit, receives the Holy Spirit, and then that oil, the Spirit, you can use this. This is the Holy Spirit that comes into this, your spirit, from here. And the deposit in the Spirit now goes to the four realms of the soul. That's the energy. Okay. Bible says it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit of God brings strength. Alright. We say we should pray in the Holy Ghost, building up ourselves in our most holy faith. I think Jude 20. Let me just read that. So you can build up strength as a lifestyle. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see? So, it's my responsibility to build myself up. You know? Responsibility of praying. Yeah? And then, the Bible says some will not come out but by prayer. Fasting is another instrument. What does the instrument of? It brings down the body. It brings, Paul said, I keep under my body. How can you keep under your body? It's by the strength of the Spirit. So it helps you to discipline your body and bring it down. Bring it down. My cut off time is 3:30, so I have 10 minutes. So let me try and go down. Okay, let me just deal with this one. This one I just mentioned. The last one I'll talk about is this temple or habitation. So we're habitation of God and spirits of righteousness. Here we're habitation of devils and demons and wicked spirits. Now, I remember in those days in university, this was a big topic, you see. He said, can a devil, a Christian be possessed? All this was a grammar. All this is a spirit. Remember, we said that when a spirit goes out of a man,
yeah.
So, that's the end of the story.
And he comes back.
He says, it is my house. So man, is the dwelling place of spirits, either the spirit of God or spirits. So those spirits, they come from there are three realms. They come from family. They come with ancestry. They are ancestral. Some of them are tribal. Some of them are what, national. Some of them are professional. Some of them are environmental. Oh, there are some environmental people here. The familiar spirits are the family spirits. They know you very well. They know me very well. They have the weakness that they are there. So, this is a normal hunting ground. They go to the family. Alright? The ancestral ones are down. Okay? And as we showed about the altar, there are altars in the soul, high places, you know, and in Christ God begins to break them down so that there will only be one altar that we are with serve. All right, so these are all spirits that you find within. Okay, but the Revelation tells us that in that new city there will only be one temple, only one altar, and the name is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
You know, so we should see that in our soul, in our life, there will only be. It's not just grammar. To tell the other, to break them down, you need some strength. You know, so Josiah came, and what did he do? He began to break down every altar. He began to. So it is possible, but there were other kings that came that they couldn't do it. But this one came and he began to break them down.
So the altars are this.
Yes, they are all within the soul. You can see some of them came, some of the kings came, they never removed the high place. But they did right, the high places were not removed. But there were some that came, they did right, they also removed the high places. So you can see Josiah, Hezekiah, there are a few of them. Okay, so if you follow popular Christianity, the high place will be there. You are doing good, singing, praising God, doing this, but you know, so it costs you short, and we don't come to that fullness of God. So I think I'll go to the questions. Let's just answer those questions so that I keep touch with the 3:30. Christ has tasted death for every man. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says He made him a little lower than the angels. So Christ died. Okay, so none of us needs to go, because say the wages of sin is death. So Christ paid that price of death. Okay, but there is a death we need to die to identify with him, you know. So that's the purpose of the cross, you know. So as Christ was died to sin, we must also, he says, I think it's Peter, let's look at 1 Peter 4. He says we should arm ourselves with the same mind to suffer in the flesh. Yes, 1 Peter 4:1 says, for as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life, of his time in the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Okay. So he's saying, he's speaking of a mentality. Okay, mentality of death to self. We can have a mentality of excusing it. Oh, as Christians, we are not supposed to. But he's saying we should have that mindset. So our mindset is important, you know, and that is the way. So I think that's what this number two is addressing. Predestinated in Christ, Ephesians 1 says that he predestinated us to be adopted as sons. Okay? So what is he saying? The scripture says that whosoever will. Alright, so if a man responds to the Spirit of God, then he receives this predestination. He receives that pathway. It's like I'm going to Nairobi or to Entebbe, and I start going to where else can we go to? You can go somewhere. You can get there. So to go to Entebbe means I must be on the road to Entebbe. Okay. So if you are on that road, you are predestinated to end up in Entebbe. Simple. That's predestination. So somebody cannot be walking in ungodliness and say I'm predestinated to be. No. So to be pre means that if I submit to Christ, I do walk in righteousness, walking, I'll be saved. So that is the principle of God's predestination. It has to be do with a pathway, the direction that my life is following. She talked about Jacob and Israel. Okay? Jacob was transformed into Israel. So yes, somebody, he said he was Jacob, but he ought to be Israel. But to go from Jacob to Israel, there was a change. He encountered God. So that change, coming to my place in God, I must have an encounter with God. My soul must have an encounter with God. This other one we have answered. Try every spirit, you know, to know whether I'm of Christ. You know, one of the things the scripture says, a characteristic of the priest, says the priest must not have a flat nose. In if you see Leviticus 18-22, it says the priest must not have a flat nose. That means he must have the ability to discern. And this is one major disease in the church, that the church has lost discernment. You know, we just look at things and accept it on the face value. We're not able to look beyond the ordinary, you know, to look into issues. And as we begin to come to God, we'll see that our minds become sharper. We can have insight into situations. Somebody is talking to you, but God is showing you something else, that what he's saying is not true, just in his mouth. He says something with his mouth, but his heart is declaring another thing. Because we know that man functions at those outward and inward levels. So you're not just going, the man says, I love you, I want to marry you, fine. But the man has something in his heart. How would you know? By discernment. So if you walk with God, then God gives you that capacity. You listen, but you hear something else. You know, so that comes with maturity. And here, yes. Yes, it's what you take, yes. You know. So it says those who are children, they eat milk. But those who have come to maturity, what do they do?
From it.
That they may learn to do what? Discern the bad from the good. So that's sign of maturity, being able to discriminate and discern. So I think we can end it here. We thank God for this time. I'm just going through some of the foundational things which are very practical. They help us to apply it in the other things. We didn't have time to run through, but probably when we come again, we can. I'm rushing for time.
Where do you put kings?
Is it sonship?
Sonship is said now.
Is that as king? Yeah, being a son, sons to reign and rule as kings. That's sonship. So it's the maturity of the inward, the ability to rule over the spirit. This one has to do with feeding on Christ. Feeding on Christ. The soul must feed, and to feed on Christ. Christ is the bride. Okay, it's the energy of heaven. It's the energy of the soul. In the soul here feeds on darkness, and you see it in the world, the things in the world, and that's where entertainment comes in. Entertainment. Yes, entertainment. This is the wrong one.
Okay.
This is a good one. Then ministry of light and life. Ministry of darkness and death. Okay, so this has to do with relationships, being able to bring life in where things have gone, relations falling apart, ability to bring life, you know, to give life, to be life givers, to be the light. And then, this one is Zion, fellowship, and Babylon. So this describes everything. Zion is the city of refuge. Okay. In the Old Testament, they gave some cities. There are six of them. It's a pointer to the real. And it says that when you enter into the city of refuge, the avenger of blood cannot come in. So now, you and I say we have come to Mount Zion. That's where we are. And the high priest is there. Jesus is the high priest. He's ever alive. So, like what you were saying last night, there's a measure of truth in it. In fact, a lot of it. That if I'm in Christ, there is a security that I have. You know, yes, possible that things may go. But the Bible says many are the afflictions. But the Lord will do what? Deliver him from them all. So that means that those afflictions are to train you. You understand? So not to destroy. Yeah, because, and that's because my soul is in the city. So they will just can't come and kill Christians, do anything you want. He doesn't have that access. You know, he doesn't have that access. And we must believe it. So if things come against us, we should have a confidence that I am dwelling in Zion. And he says there is blood, the Father is there, the first assembly. So there's even, so that means there's a ministry of the angelic host.
Yeah.
Alright, that is coming. We are telling the story of Henry Grover. It's in YouTube. He said, God told him one day, let us to pray. Near that, immediately his leg touched the ground, he found himself in Rome. And he found
physically.
Is there YouTube?
Watch Henry Grover.
He said, immediately his feet touched, his knee touched the ground. Pam, he was in Rome. Going down the steps of the Vatican. And he found six other men walking with him. Yes, and they were all going down. They were all going down. You know, and you know, Brother Paul had that kind of experience. He said he was alone, but he found himself going into the war room of the devil. He shares it, you understand? Uh-huh. And when he got there, when they found two angels. It's like praying. And God.
Groover,
yes. And that it's like they bound the power of the church, apostolic power. And, you know, he knows more of the story. He will tell us. Yes, underground. We know Brother Groover. Satanized business.
Yeah, I wanted to align myself. So, you know, when God says we're a chosen generation, we are Christians. So, kind of, I wanted to, I was waiting to see where that is.
Yes, yes.
Put them in comparison.
Yes, yeah. You understand? So,
we are kings, they are made of kings and priests to our God. So, he has explained
those two. Yes.
Is this one?
So, it's fully complete. Covers. So this is our inheritance in Christ. Now, why is it important? It's important because it is in full view. So I know that this is my focus. Alright, so whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm calling, whatever situation, I'm getting married, I'm getting a job, whatever it is, this is my calling. So, I'm getting a job, I'm a priest, I'm a brother. So we see that these are practical relationships. It affects our normal lifestyle. You know, and you see that if you follow this, your lifestyle cannot be worldly. You cannot. You cannot mix the two. You know. So this is a calling, and it's something that we can look through, and that we can pray through, and pray that God will bring us into that experience. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.